Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. For months, the parents of Charlie Gard, the critically ill baby from the United Kingdom, fought a legal battle seeking possible experimental treatment for their son in the United States. Last week, after they were told the treatment was no longer an option, they ended their battle and let their son die. Here's Charlie's father, Chris Gard, in London last week.
As Charlie's devoted and loving parents, we have decided that it's no longer in Charlie's best interests to pursue treatment, and we will let our son go and be with the angels.
On Friday, after doctors removed Charlie from life support, he died just short of his first birthday. Now, a post on WBUR's Common Health blog about the ethical issues brought up by the case went viral over the last few days, and here to tell us more about that is Common Health host Carrie Goldberg. Carrie, good to see you.
You too, Anthony.
So this is such a sad, tragic story, a baby with a fatal genetic disease. Parents determined to do anything they could to save him.
Yes, so sad and so fraught with difficult issues. It involved a pitched legal battle that pitted the parents against the hospital, the Great Ormond Street Hospital in London. And the hospital was arguing for life support to be withdrawn, saying, you know, there was no hope for the baby and that he was suffering. The parents not only fought in court, they used a crowdfunding campaign to raise more than $1.5 million to pay for this possible treatment that Charlie might be able to get in the U.S., even though I have to say the treatment was so unproven that I wouldn't even call it experimental. I'd call its potential benefit just purely theoretical. I mean, it hadn't even been done in animals before with his mutation.
I see. And the battle got lots of attention that even the Pope, President Trump, tweeted about it. The Pope tweeted about the duty to defend human life, and Trump basically offered American help for the baby.
Right. He said we'd be delighted to help if we can. But you know, a lot of the social media response was, shall we say, less positive. And some of the medical staffers at the hospital were getting really nasty messages and even death threats, according to the hospital's director. So our Common Health columnist on medical ethics, Paul McLean, wrote a post about how not only should the nurses and others who care for terminally ill babies not get death threats, it's pretty obvious.
Pretty
right?
Basic,
yeah,
right.
I mean, come
yeah.
on. But their views should be accorded special consideration because they're the ones at the bedside. They're the ones like running the ventilator and providing all the other care that's needed for a baby like Charlie Gard who couldn't even breathe or move on his own.
So he's not saying the nurses and other caregivers should get to make the decision,
no.
Just that they should be heard throughout the process.
Right. But he also points out that, you know, this kind of heartbreaking work can really lead to burnout among these caregivers that I would call angelic. You know, they're doing amazing work. And in fact, he writes about a friend who had a baby in a similar situation to Charlie Gard's and insisted on every possible intervention, just like Charlie Gard's parents did. And later, this friend not only came to regret it because they were convinced that it prolonged the baby's suffering, but also found out that some of the nurses had opted out of the baby's care. They just couldn't do it. And one stuck with it right to the end and then quit. Just couldn't take it anymore. So Paul McLean is pointing out that nurses and other caregivers are a precious resource, and that's a factor to consider in a case like this. Or at the very least, just don't send them nasty messages, right?
Right. Now, a lot of people who treasure nurses and agree with you and this post, and that's why this post really went viral. So give us a sense of some of the reaction to it.
So there were just fascinating and really wrenching responses from nurses who have been there in cases like this. And one wrote, our fragile, sympathetic hearts can only take so much, whether from the emotional roller coasters from caring for our patients or from the verbal abuse we take. She wrote, my heart has footprints all over it. Mm. And others talked about how hard it is to care for a child who, you know, a child full of tubes, they're in bed forever, no chance of getting better. It's just brutal.
Right, right. So some of the controversy here was over whether the baby was suffering. I mean, life is precious, to be sure, but life of only suffering, a much more complicated question.
It is more complicated. And suffering itself is a complicated question because it's subjective and you're trying to figure out whether they're suffering or not. But so, right. So in that sense, this was kind of a right to die, or I guess really a right to live case, you know, living versus living but suffering. But there there's another really tricky ethical issue at the heart of this case, and I would call it more like a right to try issue. Like, should you be able to try anything, even if the chances are, you know, vanishingly small that it could work? And in this case, you know, Charlie Gard's parents were saying, look, we've raised this money. We've got this $1.5 million. We should be able to buy him this treatment in the U.S. And so the question is, if you're paying for it yourself, should you be able to buy any medical treatment you want, even if it's totally unproven?
It's such an interesting question. And I guess I have two thoughts, sort of two reactions to it. I mean, if I'm fighting for the possibility to save my child's life, even a remote possibility, I want that right. On the other hand, I can look at it sort of a little more dispassionately and say this raises the issue of care only for those who can pay, and that seems troubling too.
That's very troubling, especially in a country where there are, you know, cuts looming to Medicaid and so on. But it's also a question of whether it's actually okay for you to be able to pay personally for care that is arguably a communal community good. So you want that option, but it might not be in your interest or in society's best interest. And I spoke with Dr. Robert Trug. He's the director of the Center for Bioethics at Harvard Medical School. And he wrote a really cogent piece about this case in the journal JAMA. He makes the point that saying, well, don't worry, I'll pay the medical bills out of my own pocket, is kind of like saying, don't worry, I'll pay for the fire engine to come to my house, in that it's just not that simple. Like, there's been a communal investment in your town's fire department. And he says we have a communal investment in healthcare, and especially the kind of care that Charlie Gard needed, which is very advanced care in what's called a tertiary care hospital. And so he says it's up to healthcare professionals to make sure it's used wisely.
You know, I think of the intensive care unit where I work. We are always full. And I think we have a responsibility to make sure that we are using our services for children that can most benefit from what we're doing.
Now, Anthony, I did push back a little bit and I said, okay, but what if I say I'll pay anything you want? I'll pay more than just the incremental cost of this treatment. I'll pay whatever you say is enough to cover this treatment any way you look at it. And Dr. Trug still says no go.
Nobody could actually pay to create an additional bed in the intensive care unit. You know, it simply doesn't exist. It's not part of the building. I mean, truly, every single day, almost every single day, those beds are completely full. We are having to turn people away, delay their surgeries because we don't have the resources. So it's not just a question of money. I mean, it's what is physically available.
So, Kerry, it sounds like Dr. Trug is saying that we have to look past not only the money and the emotion, but even that rush of empathy you get when you see parents fighting for their baby's life, as we did in this very sad case.
Right, and who wouldn't feel the same way? But that's right. And I asked Dr. Trug about the Pope and the President weighing in on behalf of Charlie's parents.
The Pope and President Trump were responding, as I think all of us would, which is our heart goes out to families like this. And so that natural response is there for all of us, not just for them. But then we need to think it through a little bit more and think about, you know, all of the children who are sick in the world, and how do we fairly treat all of them in the best way possible? And that's where the decisions get more complicated.
So he says, you know, feeling that empathy has to be just the beginning of how we have to think about these issues. And we have to hope that there's a lot more thinking about this, because they're likely to come up increasingly, cases like this, in particular as more highly experimental and highly expensive treatments come along.
Boy, a deep and sad and very deep story, though. Kerry Goldberg, host of WBR's Common Health blog, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And listeners, you can find a link to the column on the Charlie Gard column at our website, radioboston.org. Thanks as always, Kerry.
You're welcome.